Ibram X. Kendi, who you might know by his real name, Henry Rogers, is being investigated for fraud. The kicker is that anyone who had even a semblance of sanity in their minds knew that he was a fraud from the very beginning of his career as what he calls an anti-racist. All about that and more today on The Michael Wilson Show.
From the American Beacon Studios, this is The Michael Wilson Show.
So this guy was born with the name Henry Rogers. He graduated with less than a 3.0 GPA and around a 1,000 SAT score, which if you haven't been around the block in a while, is just awful. Not off. Okay, it's pretty awful. You're not going to get, or you shouldn't get into any top schools with that kind of score. It's just, it is sitting in, I would say, probably below average. I mean, a 1,000 SAT score is pretty bad when you can score a 1,600 or a zero on the other end of not being able to get a single question right, which statistically you shouldn't even be able to do. The only way to get them all wrong would be to know what all of them are and purposely get them wrong. You'd have to be equally as smart to get a zero as a 1,600. This guy got 1,000, so he's sitting right near the middle. So that's not very good at all. He got degrees. He got 2 degrees, one in African-American studies and the other in magazine production, which is ironic because he ended up using sensationalism, which I'm assuming he learned from his magazine production, mixed with anti-racism, which I'm entirely sure he learned from the African-American studies sector, to defraud people. He was a teacher, which if you've ever heard this guy speak, I feel bad for you. But if you ever heard him speak and then you found out that he was going to be a teacher at your kid's top school, you should really do everything in your power to convince your kids that they shouldn't go to that school. Just because he's a teacher, they're guilt by association. If you hire this guy as a teacher as a school, you're a failed school. He's an absolute moron. In July of 2020, so right in the mix with all the BLM stuff, he founded at Boston University the Center for Anti-Racist Research. That sounds absolutely bogus and made up. It is. Now, I'm going to read you a definition from him on what racism and anti-racism is, because he was asked, what is racism, right? Like, if you're going to have a center for research on racism and anti-racism and how to, you know, help black people in America, we need to know, what is it? You know, you're an esteemed author on this topic. You're a teacher. You have a degree in this. You're starting a center. So what is racism? Very valid question, right? After I read you his definition, I'm going to ask you a question, a very personal question, close to the heart. Here's his definition. He said, quote, I would define it, racism, as a collection of racist policies that lead to racial inequity and are substantiated by racist ideas. Then he purported and said, anti-racism, on the other hand, is a collection of anti-racist policies leading to racial equity that are substantiated by anti-racist ideas. Now the question that I've been building up here, would you be surprised to learn that someone with this level of intelligence actually used the tens of millions of dollars donated to him? He didn't use it to research anything? Would you be surprised that this esteemed, scholarly individual, absolutely oozing with intellectual capability, would defraud people for money? Would that surprise you? If this is unsurprising, welcome to the club of those who can use their brain. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just speaking facts here. If that is surprising, then you lack critical thinking skills. It's not even critical thinking skills. Critical assumes that there's a level of intelligence. You don't even have to have a level of intelligence. Just have a functioning brain. And you can tell that this guy had no idea what he was doing, talking about, knows nothing. For those who may be unaware, I mean, I don't think any of my listeners would be, but in case you stumbled on this podcast, the kind of guy that wants to give me a 1-star for speaking facts that you don't like, I think that we need to speak on what definitions are. I gotta sneeze. You cannot define a word by using the same word. That's just, you're not allowed to do that in order to still say anything that makes sense. If you were to look at me and you were asking me, what is a circle, Michael? Do you know what a circle is? If I looked at you and I said, it's a circular object that looks like a circle and follows the mathematical calculations of a circle, you'd probably look at me and assume that I didn't get past first grade math. But this guy got a degree in African-American studies. He basically got a degree in anti-racism, and he can't even define the word racism. So now he's under investigation for having never used the Society for Research after he laid off over 50% of his staff black staff that are now saying that if you cared about anti-racism, why'd you fire us? You have plenty of money, clearly. You've been given tens of millions of dollars by big celebrities. So why are we being fired? I got to sneeze again. This is infuriating to me on a personal level. And I'll tell you why. I could define racism better than he could. And I don't see leftists lining up to give me tens of millions of dollars. This is insulting to anyone trying to actually research and speak out against evils, not just racism, but in general. Imagine you actually did put in the time and effort to learn and to understand what your given field is so that you could fight against evil, fight real fights in this culture, try to help people. Imagine that's you. Like what I do. I try to spend my time, a lot of my time, researching these topics, trying to dive into them, understand my beliefs, why I believe them, so that I can communicate them to you. In the hope that you hear those beliefs and you think for yourself and you say, oh, you know what? He's right. It should be insulting to every single person that puts in the real effort for real fights to hear that this guy hopped on the wagon of BLM because it was popular and trendy, changed his name to sound blacker, and then fabricated the whole thing. Can't even tell you anything about racism. He can't even define the word, so it's pretty clear that he did absolutely no research into it. But this is the entirety of the left. This is the irony. Because the left is full of people who can't even tell you what they fight against. They say nice things. Fighting for anti-racism is great, right? I mean, I think you and I even, you know, as people who do think for themselves, I think even you and I can say that anti-racism is a good goal, right? That racism is bad. No, people shouldn't be racist. I think we can agree on that. But they don't even know what it is they're fighting against. We do. They don't. They can't even tell you. It's all about the virtue signaling for them. His official Wikipedia page even says that he's an American author, professor, anti-racist activist and historian of race and discriminatory policy in America. That's some high praise to give to somebody. But he can't even tell you what racism is. It's all a smokescreen to confuse the American people, keep us all fighting against each other for absolutely no reason, while they get rich off of basically the intellectual version of an empty burrito. Right? Like, imagine you went to Chipotle and you ordered a burrito and you said you wanted black beans, white rice, chicken and steak, some cheese, some sour cream, maybe some guac. And then you pay for it, you walk out the building, you get in your car, you drive all the way home, then you get home and you open it and they just gave you one tortilla. That is a full depiction of what liberals are and what they fight for. This dude wrapped you up a nice burrito. You ordered research, you ordered anti-racism, you ordered anti-discrimination, and then you got home, you opened up the package and you found out that he had done nothing and knew nothing. And if you're surprised that that's what happened, you really shouldn't be. All right. We got a video to watch. This is from the New York Jets, which it's New York. So again, this shouldn't be surprising either, but you know what? It should be surprising, but it isn't. Let's go ahead and watch this video.
Let's get it. Bring it in. I'll bring it in. I'm Aaron Quinn and all the way.
So basically, they have added the Ukraine flag to the back of their helmets to show that they stand with Ukraine. Now, disclaimer, I don't watch the NFL, like, at all. Like, maybe if I'm out, you know, like, at a bar and grill for dinner during Super Bowl, I'll, like, look at the TV. Maybe I'll play it at home if I'm really bored on Super Bowl night. Maybe if some friends come over and they're really into the NFL, we'll watch something. But I don't enjoy the NFL at all. I never really did, but if I had enjoyed the NFL, the Kaepernick incident, remember the whole, I'm going to kneel for the American flag. I'm going to kneel during the anthem, which purports that I have the freedom to kneel in the first place. Then that would have immediately turned off the NFL for me entirely. While Kaepernick kneels for the national anthem and the NFL praises it, well, now the New York Jets are supporting a country that isn't even their own country. The New York Jets don't have, you'll notice, Italian flags, or Polish flags, or German flags, or Japanese flags, or Chinese flags, or Russian flags. They don't have a single other flag from any other country on any of their football players' helmets. I've said this before, but I think that it's high time I reiterate this point, because I think that it's incredibly important to note this. Ukraine supporters have become a cult. And I don't use that term lightly because I've been told I'm in a cult for being Reformed Christian. I've been told I'm in a cult for believing that we should have a theocracy or that I'm a Christian nationalist. I've been told that because of that, I'm in a cult, right? These people actually are. They meet the definitions of what a cult is. If you don't know where your money is going, but you spend it anyways, and you show endless support without actually being able to articulate why you're supporting, then definitionally you are in a cult. These people are willing to send tens of billions of taxpayer dollars to a country. They don't even know what's going on there. They don't really care what's going on there. They're just like, oh, no, we support democracy. The same exact democracy, by the way, that said that we had to give them more money if they wanted if we wanted them to hold an election. That is the pinnacle of democracy that you are so gladly feeding your money into and feeding actually my money and everyone else's money into without our consent. Ukraine has taken billions of billions of billions of billions of billions. I can't even, I could say it over and over and over and I wouldn't hit the right number of dollars from our taxes. And we've turned around and said, you know what? We're going to support you. We're going to throw you on our helmets to say, we support you, buddy. We don't know why we support you. You're a bastion of freedom and democracy. We know you're not holding elections. You know, we know that you've tortured your citizens before. We know that your leader is a soy boy gay guy that's done really awful things. But we hate Russia, so Ukraine flag on my helmet. If you haven't heard, we're actually about to have a government shutdown because the libs are determined to get more funding for Ukraine as part of the budget. And Republicans are unwilling to launder more money for the Bidens. So we've reached an impasse where Republicans are unwilling to sign anything that includes more funding for Ukraine, and Democrats are unwilling to pass anything that doesn't include funding for Ukraine. This, by the way, Democrats, is what your side supports. They support throwing thousands of people out of their jobs, making them do unpaid labor, costing us hundreds of millions of dollars while the government is shut down for contracts, for things in multiple different organizations. That's what your government is supporting right now. That's what the left is doing in order to give more of your money to a country that we shouldn't even be supporting in the first place. That's your side. So enjoy remembering that. Speaking of Ukraine, Canada had a meeting, a parliament, honoring, you know, and showing their full-fledged support for Ukraine. Where Zelensky was, of course, I once again am asking for more of your money. That was the whole thing. But they provided, at the end, a long and loud round of standing applause to, and I'm going to probably butcher this pronunciation, but you know what? It doesn't matter because I don't respect him. Yaroslav Hunka what? I don't know. A 98-year-old who served with the Nazis during World War II. He was in the literal Nazi military group, the SS group. He served with the 14th Division of the military section, which was responsible from terror attacks from the extermination camps to daily torture of citizens. The International Military Tribunal declared his division specifically to be a criminal organization, which is obvious. I don't think we needed the International Military Tribune to tell us that they were criminals. We kind of knew that when they put people in gas chambers, right? Like we kind of could make that assumption for ourselves, right? But you know what? It just emphasizes the point. They are criminals. There's people who are saying that he fought with the 1st Ukrainian Division in World War II before later immigrating to Canada. Politico even tried, this is a legitimate news source, tried to sit there and say that his group had a few ties with the Nazis. No, that group was what was the Nazis. When you think of the Nazis, it was him. He was the Nazi in the movie. He was that guy. There were no ties. If he had ties with the Nazis, he had ties with himself. He was literally serving in the military sector of the Nazis. He was a guest of Justin Trudeau and Vladimir Zelensky. Zelensky, of course, was there to get more aid from Canada. He said that Canada had always been on the right side of history. It was ignored, though, that the Nazis were actually against Canada in World War II. They also ignored that Russia was also against the Nazis in World War II. So I guess Ukraine's definition of being on the right side of history is anytime you're against Russia, even if you're the Nazis. But that can't really be too surprising coming from a guy like Zelensky. Now, I'm not going to talk much about the Nazis or World War II because you guys already know how all that went. You've read your history books. unless you were born after like 2010, you actually had history in schools before they started telling you that you're worth less because you're white. But I will say that if you stand and cheer for a no-Nazi, I'm just going to assume that you're not on the right side of history. Like if you stand up and you're like, yeah, this guy tortured the Jews, and you just start clapping. No. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. No. You don't get to do that and still allow people to believe that you're a good person. Speaking of people that did that, let's watch this woman. This is so entertaining. Let's watch this. This, by the way, is back. If you guys remember the trucker convoy in Canada, you know, a few years ago, where they were driving because they didn't, you know, they were standing up for their rights against a tyrannical government. You know, remember all that? Yeah. So this lady was denouncing all of that, and listen to her verbiage here.
How much vitriol do we have to see of Honk Honk, which is an acronym for Hail Hitler? Do we need to see by these protesters on social media?
This woman, who somehow believes that by protesting and honking your horn against tyranny means that you're saying Hail Hitler in an acronym, which I don't think she knows what an acronym is, because Honk Honk couldn't possibly be an acronym for Hail Hitler. But this lady then stood just a couple of days ago and cheered for a Nazi SS officer. This is the government. Not necessarily the American government, although this is part and parcel of the same group of people, right? What is wrong with these people? Like, that's a genuine question. How do you say that Hail Hitler is this evil, awful thing? You can't even protest because you're associated with him somehow. But this guy, we know he tortured Jews. We know he was a Nazi. You know what? Yeah, let's go, buddy. You support Ukraine now, so I don't care what you've done. Yeah, that is stupid. Makes absolutely no sense. That is the world that we're in now. All right, so now we have the good news of the day. This was a woman in a school board meeting in North Carolina. I'm just going to let the video speak for itself, and then I'll talk a little bit, but this is incredible. Let's watch this video of this lady.
There is one goal for the educational system. It should be to prepare children to enter careers, to be productive members of society. It is not a counseling session. It is not a self-help area. It is not somewhere to find yourself. And we should not be led by the children, for goodness sake. The children are called dependents for a reason. They depend on us who have fully developed brains. You cannot feel your way through life. The issues that we are talking about, we are bringing you statistics. We are talking about scholastics. We are talking about funding. We are talking about busing. We are talking about trying to figure out how to make our children be as successful as possible. And I am sure that that is your goal. They call us Marxists and hateful and bigots and everything else under the sun. Well, let me tell you, less than 5% of the entire population of North Carolina identifies as LGBTQ. You guys all claim you want democracy. Well, you know what democracy is? It's the majority plus one. It's 50 plus one. You know what? More than 50% of the people in this state claim that they believe in God, Almighty God, who made us male and female, God who made marriage between a man and a woman, God who said that we must protect our children. The fact that we can stand up here and we know, we can brag about all of the wonderful graduations, but we know the statistics. 50% of children did not pass their end of grade test. What are we celebrating? We have children coming up here telling us how horrible the mental health crisis is. Why? Most of us went to public school, and all of our peers are not in mental health crises. We have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to our children? I'm going to say, we are discussing things with them that they are not emotionally, intellectually, and morally able to handle. That is what is causing the anxiety. That is what is causing the depression. That is what is causing the confusion. We want our children to be able to read and write and to think for themselves, and we demand that the children who fear God are protected in your schools.
But I just have to say, if I believed that women could be preachers, I would be totally good to sign this lady up. I don't. Obviously, women can't preach. Only men can. So she can't be a preacher. But if women could be preachers, she'd be at the top of my list for somebody that would be preaching, because that was a strong message from a mother. I've been saying this forever. The rising rates of depression are not accidental nor coincidental. They are directly caused by what we're teaching to kids. If you tell your kids that even the most basic facts of biology aren't facts anymore, that they just change with the wind. If you tell your kids that, then what basis do they have for any belief that they hold? If you tell them, no, boys can be girls and girls can be boys, can the sun be the moon? Can the moon be the sun? Can water be land? If you teach them that the most fundamental truths are no longer truth, they're no longer evidential and verifiable, if you teach them that, then where does their purpose in life go? How can they even know what a purpose in life is definitionally? Because that could just change too, right? It just doesn't work. And it is not coincidental that at the same time that we see those rising rates of depression, we're seeing it coincide with a degenerate culture that posits that facts are no longer facts. Now, I don't support public education. I've been very, 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 very clear about that. I do not support public education. I think that you should absolutely always homeschool your kids. There is no reason to send them to a government-provided school at all. No reason. Always homeschool your kids. I think the public school is far and away a net negative on our culture entirely. However, if we're going to public school, everything that she said about it was true. It is not a counseling session. It is not a self-help area. If you need counseling, you go to your pastor, you go to your parents. You don't go to your teacher who's gay. That's not who you go to for counseling. You don't go to the school-provided therapist who's going to tell you everything the government wants you to hear. That is not who you go to. The government should not be paying for you to feel better. And in fact, it's funny because they don't actually feel better because the rates keep going up and up and up. So clearly their counseling isn't even working anyways. It isn't there. A school isn't there to counsel. It isn't there to make kids feel good. It's there for education. It is there to create success in academia. As I've said many times before, though, if you want academic success, again, you should homeschool your kids. If you want moral success, you should homeschool your kids. If you're hell-bent on public schooling, if you're just beyond determined to public school your kids, it should be done like this lady is saying it should be done. Why are we pandering to a group of people who make up less than 5% of the population? You're all the ones that say this isn't a constitutional republic. You think that it's a democracy. Well, if it's a democracy, what about the other 95% of people? Over 50% of people in our state believe in God who made men and women, and that's all, and they couldn't switch. If over 50% believe that, why are we teaching things that go against that? If you want democracy, why are you refusing to enforce real, lasting, factual democracy, which is where the majority decides? You don't actually want democracy. You want democracy when it works for you, when you can bus in millions of migrants and get them to vote for you, when you can convince an entire generation of kids that biological facts no longer exist, so they feel purposeless, and then you try to give them some alternate purpose where they vote for you. That is when you're good with democracy. You're not good with democracy when 95% of the population doesn't want something that you want. You're not good with democracy when over 50% believe in God, and you took out the Bible and prayer out of the schools. Enough of me ranting. This is about the good news, and the good news is what this lady did. Right, she showed up to a school board meeting. She refused to be silenced. She refused to sit at home and let things get worse. She refused to do that. Instead, she had the gall to walk up, get on the microphones, and speak the truth. She didn't speak it harshly. She didn't speak it rudely. She just spoke the truth, somewhat passionately, because she is passionate, because her kids are public schooled and she's seeing what's happening. We need more parents like her. And I've said this a million times. I will always celebrate when there is phenomenal legislation. I'll always do that. If there is legislation passed that has a genuine impact on our culture, I will celebrate. I'll call it the good news of the day as many times as it happens. But you will never hear me say that that legislation is as important as what parents do. When you have weak parents, that is how you get the legislation that you have. When you raise kids that vote for the left, that vote for degeneracy, when you vote for degeneracy, that's what you get. And no amount of legislation can stop that. That's not to say that we don't need good legislation. We absolutely do. But if we have weak parents, if we have parents who aren't willing to speak the truth, or worse yet, don't know what the truth even is anymore, then it doesn't matter what else we try to do, we're going to fail as a culture. So it is always, always worth celebrating when we see a video like this making the rounds. When we see somebody get up there and say, I'm done sitting idly by and watching the absolute perversion that is taking place right under my nose, right in front of my kids. I'm done with it. And that's exactly what she did. And she made logical points while doing it. She didn't just go in there and insult people and say, no, we don't want this, get out. She made coherent, logical points. She said, why are we doing these things? Our goal is academic success. That is the point of going to school, is to succeed. 50% of the students are not passing their end of grade tests. So they're not succeeding. We're failing. No amount of counseling, therapy, teaching critical race theory, transgender ideology, porn books in the library, no amount of that is making our kids successful. It's just teaching them the wrong things that the majority of us don't even believe in. And more parents need to start saying that, because the only way that we get the legislation is first by changing the culture, is first by having everyday people like you, like me, like her, who stand up and say, no, 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 no. We are done with this in our schools. I don't care if you call me a Marxist or a bigot. I don't care what names you label me with. It has no impact on my beliefs. You can call me a million names and it will have zero impact on the fact that I think that what you're doing is wrong. It is the job of a parent, which she said, their dependents. It is the job of a parent to protect their children from evil. To ignore that responsibility is already to set your kids up for failure. To ignore your responsibility as a parent of protecting your children, already your kids are going to fail. I talked about this in the last episode, but it's true. If your kid is vegan, it's because you didn't do something right. As a parent, we are called to raise our kids in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And I've said a million times before, you only have one master. It's either the devil or it's Christ. It's either sin or God. And if you don't raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, if you don't raise them with the Bible, with prayer, with truth, then the only alternative is depression, anxiety, confusion. There is no middle ground. And I'm sick of pretending like there is. And this lady, the same as I guarantee you, hundreds of thousands of other parents are also sick and tired of it. Because it has been going on for way too long. A day, a second would be way too long. And it has been going on for so much longer. This is incredible news. It is high time that more parents start showing up to their board meetings. Start saying, look, I'm done with what you're doing. I'm done with this sick, evil stuff. I'm tired of sending my kids to school to find out they came home, they have depression, you put them on pills, they have anxiety, you put them on pills, they think they're a girl, you put them on hormones without asking me. Parents don't want that. They don't even want you to ask them because they don't want their kids to be dealing with any of it. Parents are done. And parents need to start standing up like this. Now, do I think there's even better news, which is that you can homeschool your kids? Yes, I do. I absolutely. I think that if you want to be done with this government indoctrination, that there's a better way for your kids. I still think you should speak out, which is what I'm doing, but I'm not going to speak out and then send my kid back the next day to public school. I'm speaking out right now in the way that I do, and then I'm going to homeschool my kids to make sure that they still are set up for success, moral success, intellectual success, favor with God and man. But as far as public school parents go, this lady is a good one. And we need more mothers, and we need more fathers like this that are willing to speak the truth, to speak it passionately, and refuse to be bullied by a culture of perversion. Because that is where we're at right now. And it is incredible news when we get to watch a video of someone so passionately defending their beliefs, especially when those beliefs are right. Hope you guys enjoyed. Till next time. Goodbye.